As we continue to observe this Advent season, I want to take a moment to look back at what Pastor Sunny shared with us last week. He shared that if we are being honest, most of us look forward to this season because it's a one-time thing, right? You know, beside our birthday, it's one-time thing that we expect to receive gifts. And he said that for many North Americans, we desire or look forward or hope to receive material things, including myself, right? Material things that we do not currently have. Maybe I'd like to expand this even further. Maybe you've been lured in by all the Black Friday sales, right? In-store, online, or the Cyber Monday deals, 50% off, 75% off. Trust me, I told my wife to chill, you know, but it didn't work. You know, this is who we are. We are prone to this type of things, right? We want material things. But as Pastor Sunny mentioned, that we should desire a greater gift, one that keeps on giving. One that keeps on giving. So Scripture teaches us that the most valuable gift that we could receive is not material. It's not material alone. It is the gift, but those of you remember, it is the gift of faith, right? It is the gift of faith that we receive. That's why our text today is in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It is free, by His grace, by His love. And also, last Sunday, Pastor Tani also talked about love, right? Love is the heartbeat of the Advent, right? God loves us so deeply and personally with a love that's so outstanding, so undeserved, so persistent that He sent His Son into the world to rescue us, right? Again, love is the reason Christ came. Love is the foundation of our faith. And out of this love, God gives us not just temporary gifts, not seasonal gifts, but eternal gifts that reshapes our lives. Again, our text for today, can be found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 25, because I think together, they capture the heart of the Advent season. So, let me explain why. So, let's start with the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So, these verses show us that faith itself is a good gift of God. Right? It's a gift from God. Sorry. Not something that we earn, not something that we even deserve, right? But something that we received through His love and grace. So let me ask you, so why then is receiving faith, Pastor Sunny called this a real authentic faith, more valuable? Okay. I think because everything in this world or in this earth, one, they fade, they break, or can be taken away, right? For example, money that we work so hard for can be lost. Money that, you know, we work so hard for, it can be spent just in a second. Money can be stolen. Our health can change in an instant. Job and careers that feel so secure today that can disappear tomorrow. Possessions like houses, cars, or brand new phones, they wear out. Shoes, sneakers, bags, clothes, and toys, they become old and old-fashioned, right? Even relationships sometimes and reputation can shift over time everything in this world is temporary and it's so fragile. And we contrast this with the gift of faith, which is something God that gives that cannot be taken away and will last into eternity. So faith connects us to the eternal God. Through faith, we receive our salvation. Through faith, we receive hope. Through faith, we receive a new life in Christ. Things that nothing on earth can provide. And because his gift is so secure, it becomes the source of our deeper joy. It's so secure that becomes a source of our deeper joy. Joy that doesn't depend on circumstances. Let's read these verses together. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. You guys read it. Another one, John chapter 10, verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. It's so secure. God himself is the one that's saying this. So faith anchors us to Christ, right? When our joy is rooted in him, it remains steady, even when life around us is unstable. This is why scripture calls it, right, joy as a fruit of the Spirit. Something produced in us, and our faith grows, and as we trust in the unchanging goodness of God. And when God gives faith, it is not a one-time blessing. Pastor Stani mentioned this again. It is a gift that continually working in us, shaping us day by day until it reaches its goal, right? Transforming us to become who? More like Christ, right? So as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 says, "For by my grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And when God gives faith, that faith begins to produce something in us. It's got to be, right? It's faith that we cannot produce our own. So now, in Galatians chapter 5, let's skip over. I want to focus on verses 22 and 23. Shows what that gift produced in us. Okay? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, including the fruit that I'm going to focus on today, which is joy. I don't see a lot of joy today. Right? Joy. What is it? Joy. So I believe that these verses work together to show that biblical joy is not a seasonal feeling or an emotional high, but the result of faith that God gives and the Spirit who transforms us from inside out. Let me ask you something. Is joy simply being happy all the time? Think about it. Are they really the same? If not, what sets joy apart from happiness? Actually, there are two different things. They're very different. Happiness is good. I want happiness. I love to love. I love new shoes every week. I love them, right? I love the excitement that comes from buying bike parts, bike, you know, anything that involves in bike, car parts. Something that I've been wanting for a long time. That's happiness. But happiness is very fragile, right? You can have that burst of happiness and someone can just take it away from you in a second. Give you an example. You're on your way to church, singing worship, then someone cuts you off. Happiness gone, right? your spouse comment something about you, the thing that you're supposed to be doing, guess what? Happiness gone. Someone irritates you at work, happiness gone. Happiness breaks easily. But biblical joy is different. Biblical joy is so strong and it's lasting. You can test or challenge biblical joy against the worst of this world and it will never break. Let me repeat that. You can test or challenge biblical joy against this, the worst of this world, and it won't break. Because that joy is anchored in something deeper, something eternal, something unshakable, which is God Himself. Have you ever wondered how missionaries or pastors keep going? Have you ever wondered that? Or just like, oh, maybe just, that's their job. Have you ever really wondered how they keep going? How they continue following Christ even when things are unbelievably tough? How do they stay faithful? How do they stay joyful? How and unshaken when ministry gets so painful, lonely, and costly? Have you ever wondered that? When I was studying this, that's when I started asking. I think Acts chapter 5, verses 17 to 41, I think is the closest or great example that we can see this. So we're not going to read it. It's a lot of verses, but read it later. I'm just going to summarize it for you guys. So we see the apostles, they were arrested because their preaching of Jesus drew crowds and stirred opposition from high priests and the Sadducees. Yet, right in the middle of that hostility, God intervened. An angel of the Lord opened the prison door and commands them to keep preaching the gospel, right? Not in hiding, but boldly where they were got arrested in the first place. The angel commanded them to keep preaching. So when the leaders, you know, the high priest heard this, they were furious and threatened. They threatened them. They called him back. But Peter said, and he stand with strong conviction and say, you must obey God than men. He declares that you make sure that you declare the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the exaltation of Jesus. It's got to be preached, right? The council was ready to kill them, but the Gamaliel wise council restrained them. Still, you know, the apostles were beaten. They're ordered strictly not to speak about the name of Jesus ever again. And here's the amazing part. They walk out rejoicing, right? Not because the pain was enjoyable, but they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Their joy didn't come from comfort. It came from Christ. Their identity as followers of Christ, their mission to make His name known, and the honor of bearing His name gave them joy, even in suffering. It's amazing. This is how missionaries keep going, because they experience that joy. This is how pastors endure the ministry. And this is how believers today should imitate and to stand firm. Because when Jesus is your treasure, the cost becomes worth it. When your joy is rooted in Him, circumstances cannot break you. And when the Spirit fills your heart, even in suffering, it becomes the doorway into a deeper fellowship with Jesus. Church, there's a difference between, again, the joy that Christ offers and the happiness that this world promises. Happiness is good, but it is often tied to what is happening around us. our circumstances, our comfort, our success. Scripture calls this blessedness. It's different. A gift from God that can lift our hearts. But biblical joy is something deeper. The Bible says joy is the fruit of the Spirit, a supernatural gladness that doesn't rise and fall when life's up and down. Joy is rooted not in what is around us, but in who is within us. Let me repeat that. Joy is not rooted in what is around us, but in who is within us. King David says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy." Psalm 16:11. Meaning joy is found in God himself. Jesus even prayed that his joy would be in us and that our joy would be full. Says this in John 15:11. Happiness might leave when storm comes, but joy stands firm even in suffering, because joy comes from knowing that God is good, God is with me, God is with us, and his promises never fail. So let the world chase happiness, but let the people of God rest in joy that no circumstances can take it away. Let the world chase happiness, but let the people of God rest in joy that no one can take away. John Piper calls this joy, and I quote, "A deep, durable delight in God that no circumstance can take away. Happiness rises and falls, but joy remains. Happiness depends on your situation. Joy depends on your Savior." Joy is what happens when faith opens the eyes of the heart of the believer and to see the worth, the beauty, the sufficiency of Jesus. Joy is the soul saying, "Christ in me, and I am his, and that is enough." And you are convinced, fully convinced, that Jesus is enough. Now we see this in the life of Mary, mother of Jesus. She faced misunderstanding, gossip, fear, uncertainty, because she was pregnant and unmarried. And yet she sings, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Luke 1:47. Why is Mary singing that song? Because Mary saw God. Faith gave her eyes to see what others could not see. When faith sees the greatness of God, joy rises. When faith sees the promises of God, joy strengthens, right? When faith sees the nearness of God, joy becomes unshakable. Hearing Mary sing of that rejoicing reminds me of something deeply and personal in my walk. There is this song by Hillsong called "Exceeding Joy." You guys know this song? "Exceeding Joy." I still remember the very first time it broke me. I was alone, home back in Milton. I wasn't expecting anything dramatic. But as the song played, the lyrics hit something deep inside me. I found myself, my knees, crying, saying, "God, I want that exceeding joy." And here's the honest part. At that time, I was heavily involved in many ministries. I was serving, I was working, I was doing so much for church, but there was no joy. I would get upset with the people that I work with. Annoyed easily, impatient, lacking love, lacking understanding. I was serving with my hands, but my heart was empty. I was doing ministry, but I wasn't drawing near to Jesus. And in that moment on the floor, in that small place, my house in Milton, God gently showed me, come and get to know me. Joy is not in ministry. You know what he said to me? Joy is in me. That's when everything shifted like Mary. I experienced that joy comes not from serving, activity, accomplishment, not from being busy for God, but being with God, right? From knowing him personally,